Hello, we're on the air. This is Kathy Cook, Bridging Wisdom, also known as Brightlights Pathfinders, and I'm Bridging Wisdom tonight with
Michael Golder.
Hello, Michael. It's good to have you back on your schedule. That you're so busy. It's good to have you back in the saddle.
I'm back.
You've been on tour.
I've been on tour. Yeah. Doing live appearances and. Remember the day I said I'd never do a live appearance? Now I'm enjoying them and want to do more.
Do you remember the broadcast maybe 5 years ago when you and Lois were doing, Lois T. Martin were doing a show, and you said, "Oh, I'll never leave. I couldn't be in between a clerk if a truck came beside me." And she says, "Oh, wait a minute." She's the one that kind of got you out there going with her on tours, huh? Look at her. She's good at it. That's the one powerful good lady.
That's all that I freeze up, didn't I? Or I pull over or something.
Mm-hmm. Now you're flying to and fro with us, coming to see me and Charlotte. You have really come a long way, Michael.
Ooh, jet setter.
Yeah.
Country boy, jet setter.
Yeah. I'm sorry we're not going to be able to have what we had previously scheduled for the evening. It's really amazing. First of all, before we go there, I'd like to say how amazing it is happening where people that have been, people come in and out of your life and your walk. And a lot of my people that I worked with at the Seneca Reservation, the 12-sided lodge, a lot of those sisters are coming back into my life. It's amazing. They just come popping one at a time. It's great. But I have come in contact with White Eagle Medicine Woman. She's the keeper of Grandmother Drum. As in many of you active listening audience have heard me talk about this humongous drum that we would keep the beat of Mother Earth consistently the whole time we were there for like 3 days, and then we took turns every hour, keeping that drum beat going. We learned to survive. This is in the early 90s, and we learned to survive where we are today in 2012 to live off the land. And ironically, I kept in my little storytellings, Michael, how I do the put the stories out when I'm doing a ceremony or prayer, right?
Right.
And, I kept beating that drum down into Mother Earth and with a mirror. And White Eagle Medicine Woman, she is about this video that Bridget, the lady that took me, she at the end of this, the weekend, we do a giveaway. And she and I saged this up and guess, saged this huge hawk wing. That hawk wing kept pulling me, Mom. My gosh, kept pulling me. And then I found this, ironically, this YouTube, and it said, "Grandmother's calling you home." And not within a week after seeing that, did White Eagle come back into my realm. And now several, Keeper of the Stones has come back in, Spider. Grant Spider, just several. Can't wait to have a lineup in the next up and coming months for everybody to feel and hear the different walks that we have all gone on separately and now combining together. But she will be broadcasting with us, I'm sure. She's with the 13 grandmothers of the world right now on tour in Australia. She is on her way to Peru after that. So we will connect with her sometime. We just have to give her a little bit of space and allow her to take care of herself as well. So sorry about that, but everybody keep in tune to the headlines, and we will have that up and coming in no time soon. We wish her well. She is going around the meridian lines, kind of like the Ring of Fire, and pulsating at 528 love frequency with this 7-foot drum. She had hers made in 2000. There's no other drum like that in the world. Gramps Trial has passed on. And her Wolf Clan, her son is now in Florida. So what I want to get at is that was her determination and her feel that she continuously walked that path and dedicated herself to taking her new crystal inlaid with rose quartz crystals and clear crystals pulsating at the frequency of 528. as well as the living waters going to all the meridian lines along the shore, like Israel to Peru. Yeah, it's amazing. She's just a wonderful soul. So everybody, that's what's going on, and that's why we do not have White Eagle Medicine Woman with us. Her name's hard to pronounce. It's Shurja. But I remember the first time I met her, and I was in that 12-sided lodge, and Gramps was teaching us about the truth. She jumped up out of her seat, out of her place where she sit, and just started going, screaming and dancing and moving around. And Bridget had to take me out, and we started singing "Twinkle Twinkle Little Star" and ABCDFG. And that night, UFO just hovered over my head. It was amazing. Well, us three out there, and Gramps' spider was coming from the Port Johns. She was looking down with the flashlight, going back to the lodge to the meeting, and she ran in there and said, "There's a UFO out there." Just amazing stuff. Cool. Coincides together, and it seems that the people that saw that UFO are the ones that are connecting. Isn't that amazing?
Tassie, for the listening audience that don't know much about Native American, I hear you mention grandmothers. Now, there's only a certain amount of grandmothers in the country.
It is. But there's several of the insidious grandmothers that are, that are chosen to represent certain parts of, the culture. And some of them were with us at the Gramps' Twilight Edge herd, and Gramps' Kitty, that is known as Gramps' Swallow, was you get assigned a grandmother, but that is the tribe of the Seneca, the Two Wolf, the Wolf Clan, and I believe every tribe has, their certain grandmother, just like my inherited ancestral grandmother, taught me a lot, very quietly. She just subliminally put things into search your roots and this and that. And her father was a healer, holy man, healer of, he touched with his hands. And her mother was a medicine woman, a herbalist, So it depends. Everybody's got a, you get assigned grandmother if you're working in a, in a lodge like that. I'm sure everywhere. I've only done one with that, at the Seneca, in New York, I believe it was. But that was back, Michael, it is so vague. It's amazing how I can remember so much in my life, but certain pieces, they don't click until spirit wants you to know them. The teachings embedded into my heart. And Gramps made a little 80-page booklet, handwritten, with everything that's transpiring in 2012 now, exactly. And how we put our heads down. She just bat that earth, saying, "Listen to your heart and the connection of the heartbeat. Hey, listen to this." I always knew my dad and everybody told me, listen with your heart and not your mind. Your mind is made of all the people, places, and things along your way since birth, right? So we're trying to listen with our heart. But listen to what I came up with the other day. It just popped in. The heart. It's like if you think of a toaster and your left side, your logical side of the brain, compared, and it has a little bridgeway, and the right side, which is your creative side, the heart popped up through there like a toaster piece of toast. It was amazing. It came when you gave me that triangle with the heart in it as a symbolic meaning when you were on tour to let me know, where you were. And then I sent you back a triangle with, so in other words, the eye, the all-seeing eye, is now the heart. It's being replaced. That was what my vision was the other night.
Interesting.
I haven't answered your question about the grandmothers.
Yeah.
But there's 13 that are chosen, and you have to really work it. And they've got this new, I mean, I've been all finding all this stuff. I don't usually search the web, but it's really reverent to be a part of a Native American culture. They have a fraud site for just that. If you cannot prove your credentials or your walk or your teachings or sharings, there's a lot involved in becoming or, evolving into this path. And it's very reverent, it's very truthful, and it's very strong medicine, which could help and is helping this earth become a different earth today, because it's like the truth will. That's the first thing that you know in your heart and talk is speak the truth, know the truth, the spokes of the truth will. And ironically, you remember back when I first met you, you said you saw brightest rainbows around me. Remember that? It was the first reading you ever did back in 2005 or so, 2004. Anyway, let me tell you about that. When I was with Ron Fraga, no, I was so in love with him. Anyway, I knew that I was going to split up with him because I saw a double rainbow come through the mirror that night, right before we woke up, and this big weeping willow tree would be reflecting on the lake in our bedroom window, and it would reflect into the mirror. Well, it disappeared, double rainbow, and I didn't understand it, but look at what I figured, because we have the rainbow bridge, which is the Hopi prophecy, which is, if you think about it, you take the rainbows, which I'm working on the logo now with a company. If you take the two rainbows, those could be the sides of the bridge, right? But then if you hook the two rainbows together, it's a circle. It's the circle of life. And the south road, we have the four directions. The south represents the red road. It's going to turn, and it's turning now into the rainbow road, which is, all the colors of the world and all people of the world coming together as one, and one unity and one love of the same cause, which is humanity. So that's what I'm gathering and getting. You know how God gave us that rainbow, the first covenant after the destruction of the world with the flood, and He gave us that rainbow to say, "I'll never destroy the world that way again." So if you think about it, we are getting the opportunity not to, in order to help our Earth, our Mother Earth, evolve into healthy and respect, because that's our home. That it provides everything we need as Mother Earth, but we tend to get, as humans, greedy and egotistical and claiming and, saying it, and destruction. So if we respect all the colors of the world, all the cultures, let them be who they are, let each be who they are with respect and boundaries, like the water is the relations. You know how water is relations in the readings that we do? If you think about it, Michael, the relation, the water, is what keeps us separate but the same, so we can get to each other. So it's just, there's so much information to share. I don't even know where to start about this. It's opened up a bunch that has been, inside of my heart for a long time. And I knew that it would come when it's come, because I don't push, I don't force things. I encourage them along with patience.
We're all connected. I see.
We couldn't do it without the other, could we?
I see a raindrop, and I know it'll wind up in the ocean.
Yeah. Do you know what I read the other day, or felt, or I don't know where it came from, but you know how people believe in reincarnation and they choose if they're going to, come back or not, which I don't go there with that belief, but it's up to the individual. But I read where if you don't want to come back, you turn into like a drop of water, like you turn into the cosmic oneness, and it's like the vastness of one drop of water in the ocean. You become a part of that whole. I don't know where I read it or thought it or what, but I thought that was very interesting.
Well, I'm a firm believer in reincarnation.
Yeah. I'm talking about if you get to choose whether you're coming back or not. I don't believe in that part, because I believe that Creator, I'm a firm believer in Jesus Christ. That's my path. I don't like to channel anything because I don't want that energy in me, but except for Jesus Christ is my heart. Connection, and I feel that we go to sleep in Him, and when it's time to come back, we come, we come back through that way. But I don't feel, that's my beliefs, though. I don't have any recollection of any past life.
One pearl of wisdom I can share is, I believe you get what you believe.
Oh, that's good. Hey, that's amazing. Yeah, we manifest what we manifest. Age.
Yeah, you get what you believe. As above, so below.
Yeah.
And so motivate.
Yeah, might have been. Awesome. Listen, Michael, also, you give your input that you were talking about, we were talking about last night. and our conversations we should definitely tape and put on, you know, broadcast, because we always go into 2 and 3 and 4 hours of just deep talking. You were talking about how whatever you project, it will evolve, and how we have to learn to stay in the moment more. Remember that part of the conversation?
And it's that thing, and things that may get in the way of it.
Why do you feel
this
way?
Well, we all know that we create our experiences by what we're thinking.
Right.
And feeling, and digest. And
that's the chew on the word, isn't it? Digest, chew on the word.
Chewing on the word, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I know that we were talking about how if we stay, don't look back and look at the past except for the healing part of it, right? And we were talking about how it's so amazing how instantaneous we're having karma, even blessings of good, bad, or indifferent, because what we speak, so it shall be. Ask, receive, seek, find, knock, the door's going to be open. And if we keep a manifestation of exactly what we want, it will pull towards us. But I also believe that in prayer, I have to be really careful when I do my prayers, which is talking to God. Because if I am not so precise with my needs, then it could be, you know, a little inch off. Just like with Scorpion, when Orion was the hunter back in the day in that story. And he was so excited that he had conquered what Mother Nature had asked him to do, that he was boasting to Zeus's daughter, his lover. And he says, I feel so great. I could kill all the creatures on this earth. Mother Earth took that literally and had Scorpion sting him on the ankle and kill him. So the healing of Orion, which is meaning to be precise and accurate with what we feel in a talk and prayer and putting out there, because it's just like it's going to come around back exactly how you want it, how you spoke it or thought it. I've learned that in a long, hard lesson of 56 years. And also the thing is that if I pray that His will be done, God's will, and only God knows, and like we were talking the other night, you said bless the people, love the people, and give them, you know, blessings if you have somebody on your heart, but don't pick the situation out. Just give it to God in your prayer. Remember that part left the other night? That's what pulled me to this. That's what pulled me to this understanding more, is what you said, what you spoke the other night about being very, you know, very reverent with praying for people, but sending them love to Creator instead of speaking on their behalf in the prayer.
Right. It's better to say thank you for taking care of my baby instead of please take care of my baby. Because you've shown ultimate respect by stating that you already believe that it's being done and taken care of. So you're thanking the Creator, just blessing whatever your issue is.
I've learned also. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I want to share an old spiritual discipline. I challenge anybody listening to purposely listen and monitor their thoughts all day long. First of all, it's difficult to do. Second of all, you'll be shocked at what your self-talk is and what it's saying.
Wow. That's a good one.
We block out 80% of our self-talk. And if you ever stopped and listened, purposely listened to everything that's being said inside your mind, you'd be shocked. And it would also take a lot of discipline and practice to be able to do it for any length of time. So,
there you stay in the moment. If we stay in the moment, that stuff will stop. You know what else I've learned is if I pray for strength, or if I pray for, you know, I'll get a lot of junk on me in order for me to clean it out of hard things to work on in order for my to gain the strength. Or if I like to use the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, those kind of things. Because I've learned that what we speak out, no matter what it is, that's what we're going to pull back. Because that God loves us. For if I get away my will, give it out of the way, just kill the self part of me, get the ego gone, and let His will be done, the Creator's will be done, move mine. And at the end of the night, remember I shared with you last night, if I speak anything or think anything, may it be used to the good and the glory of this universal, you know, wholeness of God the Creator. And the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in His sight, my strength and my Redeemer. So if I clean myself with those things, to even if it's a hardship or something, you know, the bitterness or something towards something, may He use those actual thoughts and feelings to the good of Him or the Creator for bringing down betterment and wholeness of any way, shape, and form that needs to be utilized in that. And keep myself forgiven of myself and go to others if it doesn't hurt them and tell them, hey, I did you wrong. I need to rectify that. And then we can go to God with cleanness so that He can forgive, because if He just forgave, we'd still have all that junk inside of us and keep doing it over and over and over and over and over. You know? We wouldn't learn it unless we accepted our shadows ourselves and exposed them to ourselves, because we try to hide from ourselves with things and justify things and twist them around because our ego needs to do that. But we have four personalities, distinct personalities inside of ourselves, and that's a teacher, the childlike, and the ego and the self. And then we have, if everybody, like you said, Michael, should have a higher power, no matter what it is, believe in something higher than yourself.
Well, I can't see not believing in anything.
Yeah.
To me, it's not logical. It doesn't make sense. You know?
Yeah, because...
But,
Even an atheist, Michael, they really do believe in something. They just don't want to admit it because they believe in the material. They believe in they're walking on this earth, and inside of the self is the, you know, the structure, you know, the bones and whatever as part of material. So there is something they're believing in, even if it's just themselves. Atheist.
Well, my father told me, he never met an atheist in a foxhole.
Oh, wow.
Everybody was yelling, oh, my God, so.
Yeah.
And,
there's that fox again, Michael.
Huh?
There's that fox again.
The foxhole,
keep
yeah.
having the fox come up in different symbolics, because we... Michael, you and I, active listening audience, everything in the world has a symbolic meaning of some sort or another that resonates with what we need. And Michael and I are all into, he gets on this elliptical. He works his butt off for 30 minutes. The other day he became a bear. And when he got off, he couldn't get the pine tree down. And he went in front of the elliptical in his vision while he was still, he just got off the daggum elliptical and pulled in front of the elliptical machine and tore that daggum tree down to get it out of the way.
Damn right I did. I ripped that sucker in half.
Yeah.
But it was a powerful vision. When all you see is grizzly bear claws and you're seeing through its eyes and you're foaming at the mouth.
Yeah.
And you're ripping this giant tree in half.
Well, pine. Think of pine. Pine cone. Pine cone is the same resonance as a sand dollar starfish. You know, it has the 44 connections to it, but it's also known as the pineal gland. You know, the C&I?
Wow.
Yeah, if you think of pine cone, you know, it has all the same symbolics as the center of a Sunflower.
And
Back of a starfish, the sand dog, you know, all the things they have, that's the little octagon shapes. There's 44 of them. And our DNA, you know, and just put the 144. It's just amazing. So if you think what you were doing is you were literally becoming, as you said, in the eyes, you became that, which we do a lot, which you have, you are a born shaman, you know, within your heart, which is, to me, it's just amazing how you worked it yourself in dedication and teachings of what you needed to discipline yourself with, as that became, because shamanism is a healer. It's a wounded healer, which bridges split souls together when we work with people. That's all it is. You know, this other stuff that, you know, I don't get it. I don't get where the shamanism, yeah, I'm sure it's billions of different kinds, but that's what you and I both do, is a healer for wounded split souls, and including ourselves, you know. Now, the other day, when you were on tour and you sent me that train with Art, and I put my, and you said, you told me before you left, you said to use my left ear because if I'm to talk to me, well, you know, because we had no phone service, right? And I went, and I have this immense white owl around me all the time. And I've learned to go in the eyes just like you do with the bear, but I can't even become a blade of grass, you know? It's amazing. What we can accomplish in order to fulfill what we, you know, to connect to the earth,
yeah,
and the creatures, great and small.
And then the place I stayed at, the first thing I walked into was a 5 ceramic white owl.
And that's
amazing.
And Whisper, yeah, tell them about how the wolf, before we really got to talking about you knowing I was with the wolf clan, how you felt the wolves in your stomach. Like chewing the word, you know, you were pulling. That's what started this. You, when you were here last time, several times, you stared at the tree and focused on the tree, which you were putting in your heart in prayer and meditation to have a good foundation of this house. Anyway, the woodpecker and each thing, you can Google search active listening on it. Just Google search whatever comes to your mind and the meaning of it, like a woodpecker. What does that mean? You know, what is that telling you? Or any symbolic, from dream analogy to, you know. Michael, you use that line in your intuitive consultations too, don't you? When you pulled the rock the other day for somebody, I remember, you don't ever discuss what your readings are. You just said it was very interesting that the stone people were there for you in that intuitive.
Yeah. Well, when you become awakened, whatever that is, you realize that there isn't one vibration that is not part of a message.
Yeah.
From a fly landing on you to a butterfly landing on you, or a certain amount of birds.
What do you think? There's two feathers you keep seeing. Two feathers.
Two feathers.
You know how you keep talking about that? You keep seeing, having two feathers.
Absolutely. Two feathers. Well.
Two of them, though. You know. You remember John?
Well, actually, well, remember when we had a little fussing and I went to another person's home to just, you know, hang out, and there was two black feathers crossing each other.
And that time I got that in my owl,
and
owl journal sitting right here with two black feathers crossing, open to that page.
And I said, oh, look, two feathers crossing each other. And she goes, she looks at me like, what? What's that mean? I said, that means the bus is going to end and we'll be talking again.
Yeah. And only we look at it and discuss it as growth, you know, because we're so intertwined, sometimes we don't know where one ends and the other begins. And we have to pull back and get the answers to the understanding. Because I'm a hardcore, hard, strong-willed woman. And I've been by myself for nearly 10 years, like a monk or a nun. And it's tough to have somebody come into your territory and be a part, but I love it. I mean, you're great. Such a gentle person. I want to say, I got to say, everybody that knows Michael Kodras, he's like a world known, but his voice and his actions on air, I mean, on the phone, they are nothing compared to his business, because he's so business and direct and strict with his instructions with himself. Very disciplined. And here, when you come here, you let it go and relax like a little gentle teddy bear.
Yeah, that's what I am.
Mean to tell. But then, in like on air right now, in your reading, and you are that bear that rips down the tree. You protect. I always said I felt like you carried the world on your shoulders, healing people and wanting it to be right.
I do. I do, as any light worker should. It's just that I've been doing it for so darn long, and it's all I do, really. Sun up to sun down.
I want to talk about what you shared with me the other day, the vibrations of energy thought, how a sensitive, because you were telling my daughter I was such a sensitive that anybody, I have that energy that once a person focuses on me, good, bad, or indifferent, their face, just like a human face, that energy becomes its personality face. And I know who and what and when. So I try not to tap into what people are saying or whispering around. But
Oh,
you shared that with me, how I could, because I didn't know what was going on. Here comes that energy.
well, everything that you say and think,
As a vibration.
and you send it out with intention, it's a vibration, then it's projected by vibration, and it travels through vibration, and it goes to a receiver that you're focusing on. So, a lot of people don't know it because it happens so much, you don't even know what's happening. A lot of people say, "Oh, I don't believe in that. I never see anything like that." If you really, most people don't even realize what they're doing. They go about their robotic program schedule and don't notice anything. And then you get the ones that are very in tune, like you. And if I'm thinking about you, you'll say, "Michael's thinking about me." Well, you'll even know exactly what I'm saying to you.
And I'll even sometimes act through it, because to me,
Yeah.
when people think about me, I will sometimes, it's on, I don't think it's mind control, but it becomes, I start moving around and looking at and moving, like say somebody's thinking about me and maybe something I said with colors. Well, all of a sudden I find myself looking at all the different colors. I don't mean to have, I need to learn the shield of vision
Discernment.
more.
And discernment of psychic attack or regular frequency.
Hey, let's talk about psychic attack, because I didn't even know there was such thing till you told me the other day.
Or install a light switch. Just get up, turn it off, and leave it that way until you're either working or you want it on. That method works also. Or you can shield. But then you gotta program your shield. And psychic attack is it could be anything from a trained magician or witch or priestess
Even a child, even your family, any negative energy
or
is perfect.
any negative. It could be unintentional. It could be a husband and wife arguing, and they're both bitching each other out silently in different corners, and you'll carry this with you. You'll feel it, and then you can affect people. That's why you gotta really guard your. One of the biggest dangers of the civilized world today is our unchecked thoughts and words.
And motives. and the hidden motives that we have as human beings, we don't want to look at, but we project it through words, talk, and thought. And it's really a hidden motive that we're trying to rectify, you know, in some way or form. But I was going to ask you, you know how with the energies, you know how you were talking about we're energy bodies and everything in Earth has a vibration, even as above, so below. Well, if we bless, you know, that poem I wrote, Blessed Be One's Name, if we bless the person's name, and it's okay to get upset with them and have those thoughts, but if we bless their name prior to, okay, now I'm going to be mad, you know what I mean? And get that out with blessing their name first, then that will project back in them, you know, understanding to me, learned what that, because anybody in the world cannot really hold my power unless I give it to them. So if something is affecting me or I'm mad at something, it's really something in my inside of me that I need to look at.
Absolutely. If you're angered at all, number one, you're not awakened. Number two, you already lost the battle. Your opponent affected you.
Wow.
And threw you off balance.
Whoa.
That's what the story of Jesus walking on water was all about. If you could be as focused as he was, you'd be able to walk on water.
Tell us about the auras, you know, how I projected my aura out in that MRI. But I don't know how I did it. But one, and you said there was weak spots in aura chakras?
To be honest with you, I think you shielded it more than you.
Yeah, I did. I did. I didn't want that stuff in myself. But I'm asking for it, the active listening audience. Would you please give a little insight on what an aura is and how many layers to how you can have a weak spot in your aura and how that needs to be constantly in check? What is an aura?
Your aura is your energy grid. When you're thinking spiritually, think electricity and internet.
Okay.
Always keep that in mind. So your aura is your power grid. And it can transmit and receive. It pulsates and it can generate. So, and it has seven major portals, transmitters and receivers, and they're your chakras.
What's a portal?
A portal is where energy can interact, either exit or enter or both.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, these things I'm asking you for people to know, you know, out there. But let me ask you, you said when Poppy, she knows her daddy's on, but anyway, when you said I had a weak spot in my aura, I had a little dark stuff, you know, one time, a long time ago. And what it was is that when people, places, or things, when I'm upset with something, I hold it in a certain spot in my body, like my leg or my foot, or, you know what I mean? There's a weak spot in my system, you said, that needed to be worked on. And you did this chakra cleansing, you balanced my chakras.
Okay. I'm going to do it right now for the listening audience. I'll demonstrate an energy reader, energy worker, analyzing an aura.
Okay.
And with your permission, Tassie, I'll just pull up your aura. I'm doing this clairvoyantly.
Clairvoyance is what? There's clairvoyantly.
Well, yeah.
For people that don't know that terminology.
Yeah, you're right. Clairvoyance has seven dynamics, and they're related to the physical senses, hearing, seeing, smelling, so on and so forth. And I hear mine.
That's clair.
I feel mine.
Clairaudient, right?
Mm-hmm. Clairaudient? I'm clairaudient, and I'm clairsentient.
Okay, what's clairsentient?
They'll make me feel like I'm going through what I'm about to tell my sitter or my patient.
I thought that was empathic.
No, empathic is when you're operating on physical plane vibrations only. Emotional, mental, and physical. Those are the vibrations that you're working with. You're matching yours to them and analyzing and reading. That's
You
empathic.
see, I never knew the terminology that well. I just
Yeah,
know
in
what I know
order,
and feel. And so
yeah.
that's good to know. So I'm going to start asking you questions as we go, and so, as if I know nothing at all, okay? And I would like, you have my permission to read my aura and to see what's going on with me, with your clairsence.
Well, it's relatively quick, and the reason I'm able to do this is because I practice remote viewing and astral travel and telepathy, and I mix it with my clairvoyance. Okay, so your chakras, there are some that are off. Now, when I say they're off or they're sluggish or there appears to be something wrong, it doesn't mean you run out to the emergency room.
Well, like you said, I hold things in my throat. Well, my voice is deep right now, just as a mere example. I don't speak out what I feel and think. That's a perfect example of my chakra, maybe my throat chakra not being in tuned.
Compare it to your as above, so below. Compare it to your arteries, the valves. They get some. They collect residue,
Like Mother
and
Earth's part do.
they could be cleaned, and they could be repaired. And the chakras are like that. You'll develop residue, or they won't vibrate or pulsate the way they're supposed to. That's all it means.
Tell me
And
the
each.
difference in, tell the active listening audience the difference in an aura and a chakra.
Aura and a chakra. Well, your aura is
The
the
outer part of you.
entire, it's the entire power grid of your energy system. That's what
And
your
your
aura
aura
is.
changes colors and at the given feelings that a person has, right?
It's made up of all the colors of the rainbow. It glows, it pulsates, and if there's a problem area, an aura reader would go to that area and let you know. I feel that
The
there's something
way
wrong.
I learned to look at and see auras was through at night, right at dusk, and looking through the leaves in the tree and seeing how the leaves had that aura there. But I know that the universe all has auras, anything. But do you feel that the universe, like the trees and the plants and the animals, have the same amount of auras as a human?
Different,
Okay.
but everything has an aura. Everything vibrates.
So
Everything
it's
has
like everything that
everything
vibrates is
has
an energy field, right?
everything vibrates, and everything has an intelligence.
Because
And
it also
so.
is why we know that we are made of energy, everything, because of vibration is a pull. And what I feel is wrong with, I told my mother back in the 70s, I said, the earth is going to follow this action. But what it is a bipolar, like a magnetic field, Remember the other week when I said I felt like our crown chakras were hooked together like a hardcore magnet and we could pull it apart? You remember that day? Okay,
And
what's happening to
actually,
the earth is their magnetic pull is shifting, right?
And it could have been a multitude of things. It could have been. Right now, I'm looking at your chakras, and your crown and your third eye are a little sluggish for some reason.
Wow, it's Paula pulling all the way off the ceiling right now to me. Because, well,
Yeah.
I have been, that's really wild. That's amazing. But then again, when you were doing your intuitives this past week, I felt like all of a sudden I had a helmet on my head. First time ever, like a football helmet. And I wasn't allowed to send or receive, think, or nothing. I could think, but I couldn't project. And right now, my aura is pulling out of my head as if I'm connected to total source of creation, you know, God. And it's pulling straight down into my third eye. It's like I've got this opening that I can't explain it. So maybe it's too open. Maybe that's what you're seeing. I'm too open.
I'm being shown a blanket over my, like somebody threw a blanket over my head. And,
wow.
It's weird. And it's confusing me. Listen. Your throat is also in a little need. It's restricted. It's overloaded. I'm not saying, or people aren't hearing what I'm saying. I want to say more. I don't know how to say it. Your heart chakra is great. Powerful, all-knowing, very open, very wise. And then you get down to your lower back, where we know it's obvious. A lot of people know you do have and I'm showing the sacral, where the female organs are, and the solar plexus from the belly button down to the tailbone, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So those two chakras are a little unbalanced. So out of the seven chakras, you got five that could use a few extra minutes of your drumming or your meditation or whatever you do to make yourself feel better. That's the places I would spend a little more extra time. So it's as simple as that. And
my crown chakra, it feels like it is open. I'm down. I've got all this information that just poured into me out of nowhere. And it's wide open. I'm telling you right now, it is pulling out of me like a faucet of the fountain that, you know, Old Faithful. And maybe I need to close it some, is why you're seeing a blanket. Because that is what I'm hoping and working on, is I'm trying to shield my, you know, crown chakra more, because I project out in my, without thought, with ease and thought, like that, I can project out myself, totally not feel myself, and pull back in.
I can feel it. The crown and the third eye. And cleanse it. And it's, you use the right word, cleansing. Just blowing out the dust, basically. Yeah. Like cleaning a chimney.
Or the air conditioner.
You breathe in the light into the chakra, and you blow out the gray cloud, the shadow, or whatever you're working on at the time. But every chakra covers
it. You know how I was telling you earlier, I feel like somebody's sitting on my chest, and the energy sucked totally out of me. And that's how I got to the connection of maybe my crown chakra was way open, because I go on these visions and I become like out of the eyes of the eagle, or out of the eyes of the turtle, or I, you know, it's not my third eye. I don't use my third eye. It's some kind of, it's just my whole body becomes that. But what I'm learning, I have not done with you bringing this to my attention, is I have not closed it after doing that. I go to something else, like maybe to the kitchen or whatever, without closing that properly.
I'm analyzing you quantumly, and to me, it's just a matter of dwelling on it with the light. It's as simple as that. Or if you had Reiki, or acupuncture, or acupressure, or...
I believe a lot of it has to do with me being put to sleep. That was the hardest thing I allowed. When they gave me 32 ablations to my heart for that surgery, I would not fall asleep, and I felt and smelled, and they said, we can't give you any more anesthesia, we'd overdose you. But this last time, when they stuck that thing down my throat last week, I have not felt right since.
Well, I will throw in for everybody listening that I've been analyzing chakras for 40 years, and I haven't found one yet that didn't have at least two chakras that were not vibrating properly.
I learned through my meditations to take my chakras like a counterclockwise and spin them gently and get them back into balance and move down each one. And each one, why do they have a color? Tell the active listening audience why each chakra has a color like the rainbow.
A color?
Yeah, each chakra has a color. It resonates with right, what it, you know.
And that's why they have that color, because the colors have vibrations, just like numbers and everything else. And that's the vibrational for that chakra. And starting with the root chakra, that's red, and then it's the sacral is orange. And then the solar plexus is yellow, and then the heart is green, the throat is blue, and the third eye is, I like to say purple, but indigo. And the crown chakra is the whitest, brightest white of all.
Now I understand. You remember yesterday night I told you how I had this vision where I was in a tunnel, like a tube, and on the outside it was this... like ultraviolet color, and then in the center, right before it touched me, it was like white, 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 and then it was pulling like a saucer at the top of my head, which could be that blanket, but then I couldn't move. It was just like, you know, as if you would think that beam me up, Scotty kind of thing. Do you remember that? I was telling you that last night.
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't know the colors, to be honest.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Yeah. I don't go into that field much. Understanding.
Everything is energy. Think in terms of electric and internet.
Could we be too open? Because I feel that sometimes I'm too open with my energy, you know, and allow things in and don't pay attention. Like, you know, billions of people thinking about what I'm going to say or do. You know, being a high public figure, as we all, you know, broadcasters and you, we are out there, that yeah. When people are reading about us or whatever, I tend to feel like I got to throw it off of me. But today, for a couple of days, I felt very exhausted. Like, I'm be fine 1 minute, and all of a sudden, it's like somebody took the plug out of me, like in that Matrix, where they pull the plug out of your neck, and I just go, boom, and I have to lay down right then. And it feels real heavy on my chest.
It could have been psychic attack. And a lot, I will tell the listening audience, is that the planets are having their way with us, especially the Libras. I think for the first time in years, the Libras are going to get a breath of air.
When is the Libras month? What's their month?
And I think Venus is in retro, or there's a few things still going on, but things are going to get a little bit easier for the sensitives, astrologically.
Michael, what month is a Libra?
Libra, I'm a Libra. That's September, but I think I'm the tail end of it. So there's some Virgo. I think I'm more, I'm not sure. I'm at the tail end of Libra.
Is the person, you know, like Libra, Gemini, Aquarius, all those, because I know that God in Revelation says that he wears the crown of 12 stars, which are the months, you know, whatever they're called.
12 tribes of Israel.
Yeah, it's the stars, though. And we are born under it. For people that are brand new into this understanding, I'm trying to get it to where I'm talking to you like I don't know things so that I can express, you can share your knowledge.
Yeah.
But the 12 stars are the months of the year, right? The 12 main astrological charts. So if we're born under a Libra as our sign, then that is what? Go ahead.
Well, picture at the time of your birth or conception. There's an argument when it starts, and I don't think anybody really knows, but a snapshot is taken of the planetary alignments.
Wow.
And then as these planets move, it affects your destiny through their positions and movements, through vibration again. Mm-hmm. It's not magic, hocus pocus, witchcraft. It's a science. Right. And somewhere in man's destiny, all our religions are going to be labeled a science. They're going to do away with religion. It's going to be a science. We're learning everything. We're not inventing anything. We're remembering things.
Right. And that's what I was telling you. I'm just now remembering certain things that happened on my journeys. You know, Michael, we have to wrap it up. I do want to say, have you ever heard of PK, like a poltergeist? You know, that kind of thing is a resident. I don't know why I'm being pulled to that right now. PK represents like a poltergeist, which is our. Remember, we were talking the other day about somebody. I was needing some understanding about, like, a client, and I said, I feel that their energy is pulling up things that maybe, like, a poltergeist could not make them think that these things happen, but that becomes a reality. But it's really right. Not. It's suppressed. Right?
Right. Right. In other words, they're creating the phenomena themselves.
Right. And that's PK, like a poltergeist type thing. In other words,
yeah.
We have our hurts, our angers that we have never even known or even remembered. You know, like
right.
Somebody could have been kidnapped at 2 years old and don't remember it. But then those things are down deep. And
right.
The poltergeist type energy field comes in, the PK, and it makes those things happen in their reality and today if they don't, you know.
Right.
It's like a shield, per se,
right.
For certain people that they have a protection so they don't remember certain things because they're traumatized.
Right. Especially psychokinesis.
Like we're our birth when we're born, you know.
Right.
Some people remember, but most don't. It's trauma.
Yeah. And you'll see this with young females that are going into maturity, poltergeist. They become so psychic and so genetically active that they actually create phenomena around them that appears to be a haunting.
Very good analogy.
Yeah. So the subject is deep and vast, and it's something that's a lot of fun to chew on.
Mm-hmm.
So chew on the word, folks.
And everybody make sure that your actions reflect the energies that you would like to have in yourself. Keep people in their boundaries with respect, and please understand that we are here for love and light, because we're all light workers that have either awakened or we're, you know, becoming a more aware. I wish to put in the energy ball total peace and harmony and respect. What would you like to put in? And President Obama, I would love to just tell you that we are just with protection of all the government officials and all the in the whole universe, that the galactic field all the way down to the union we have. That we have protection and respect. And even though we don't understand it, what's going on, just respect. That we, if we put out there, we're going to be okay. If we project that, then that's all. You know, everybody thinks it's 555 is supposed to be the grid opening. But every day should be the prayer opening. Every day we should focus on our purpose and why we're here. And reflect that balance of portals. And now, what would you like to put in energy to call, Michael?
Well, I like to put in there that everybody should be aware of what they dwell on and their self-talk, and I guess that's it. World peace.
Yeah. And judgment. Make sure that we don't judge others because we don't walk in their moccasins.
Right.
Walk and just respect. Do not judge and don't question unless it affects you. If it affects you, then look at inside yourself why that's affecting you. And with that, Michael, thank you so much. It's been a great hour. I look forward to several more conversations on the psychic attack. poltergeist energy fields, and also having some of the Seneca shamans with us as well on interview. So with that, good night, everybody. Thank you, BBS Radio, for always being the best and carrying the message out there for us. For without you, we would not be here. This is Kathy Cook, Bridging Wisdom, also known as Bright Lights Pathfinders, and...